Welcome to Book It,
a bi-weekly podcast where we talk frankly about books. Book It is hosted by the Blue Manatee Literacy Project,
a nonprofit that operates an independent bookstore in Cincinnati, Ohio.
When you shop with Blue Manatee, you are giving back to the community. For every book purchased, BMLP donates a book to a child in need.
Book It is hosted by me, Michael Woodson.
And me, Jill Burkett-Ragacy.
Hey, Jill. This is definitely the first time we're talking. We didn't mess up our recording.
Yeah, I mean, we always start off the episodes with a little story, and I feel like I have one. So this person I know, not saying it's me, started, quote unquote, recording a podcast without actually turning on the recording.
Yeah. That is always like the first ingredient to a really successful podcast is not recording.
Apparently I'm new here.
But you know what? We're just going to chalk it up to 2020. Like, what a year it has been.
I'm pretty sure it's been 800 years.
Yeah, you're right. I will speak for both of us when I say that we look damn good for just over 800 years old.
Uh-huh. Oh,
all yes. Of us do, I'll say. Congrats, listener. You look amazing for over 800 years old.
Let's definitely look at it through that lens. I love it.
But it has been such a weird year. I mean, like, that goes without saying. And I think that, you know, listeners will know this podcast is brought to you by the Blue Manatee Literacy Project. And for every book you buy with us, we donate one to a child in need. And that is something we are so passionate about. And in coming into the 2020, we are a very young nonprofit. We were about to celebrate our 1 year in April. And then the world stopped. And it was rough there for a while. And it's not like that it's any less rough now. It's rough in a different way. But just in this episode, as we look back on the year, I just keep thinking about how much we've persevered as a nonprofit and as individuals.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is, speaking just about the podcast, it's kind of strange to think we had recorded two episodes before.
That's right.
We went into the stay-at-home order, and it has been delightfully weird to start something new during this, but so
truly
fun.
It has been a real shining light for me, and that we were really, like, you know, I think it was February, we started talking about the idea of doing a podcast, and then immediately like, yep, we're doing it. Let's do it. This is what we want to do. This is how we're going to do it. And then really quickly, you and I recorded the first episode on our own. And listener, if you go back to listen to it, you will know that it's not, the sound quality isn't great.
It was a great conversation.
I love that conversation.
I do too. The sound quality is a garbage can.
But it's a little, you know, retro. It's very like old school radio.
Very true.
But then we found a producer that we love and thankfully got to record our second episode together and in the same room as one another. And that was the last time we were physically together. Every single one of these podcasts has been recorded from the safety of our own homes after that one. And, but not just for recording, like, I haven't seen you since March.
No, not in person.
That's wild.
It's super weird.
No.
I mean, I'm glad that we get to FaceTime and podcast together, but it would be nice to actually see you personally.
I know. One day.
Someday.
Yeah. I mean, let's hope.
Yeah. I mean, I dropped some toilet paper off on your front porch in April, but that's been a while.
That wasn't the last time I used toilet paper. It was an emergency situation. All of the grocery stores were out. Jill came to my rescue, but we're not idiots. We're fine now.
So what are we talking about today?
You know what? We're just kind of looking back on our year of reading. And this is going to be just like a chat where, I don't know, I'm just curious about what were your expectations, I guess, going into 2020 with your reading? And do you feel happy with your year as a reader?
It's a, like so many things, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
My reading goal for 2020 was to read more books for adults. I read quite a bit of middle grade for the store and picture books because I buy those. But I did not read a lot of books for adults.
Yeah.
And almost all of my recommendations came from you if you were like reading about something in the store. And so just my overall goal was to like kind of broaden my base of what I was reading. And definitely that has happened almost entirely, I think, because of the podcast. I mean, we have kept a pretty intense reading schedule going in this season. I was talking to one of our coworkers, Anessa, a couple of weeks ago, and she was like, I don't know.
Hi, Anessa. I love you.
Hi, Anessa. She said, I have no idea how you guys get all these books read. And I was like, I don't either.
I don't either.
I can't answer that. I have no idea.
Sorry. Yeah, it's magic.
So from that perspective, I am really pleased with 2020 and it's been super fun.
Good.
I would say something that has been hard about 2020 and that I just kind of wish was different is that everything going on, it's been hard to read.
Right.
And I have continued to pick books up because they are my job.
Right.
And less because I just wanted to read
them. Love to read, right.
I read a bunch on vacation that were just for fun that we didn't have a specific like plan or use for. Mm-hmm. But I will say almost everything I've read this year has been for work.
I would echo so much of what you're saying. In how your reading goal was to read more adult fiction, like I almost only read adult literary fiction in years past. And my goal this year was to also broaden my reading by reading more middle grade, by reading more picture books. And when I was more of a bookseller in the store, mm-hmm. I read a significant amount of picture books, but that was in large part because I have an amazing staff that knows so much about picture books. But I was really lacking in middle grade and I had really fallen off YA for a while. And in turn, you are so knowledgeable about middle grade fiction and you know, not just what's good, but like you have a really good eye for what like is definitely going to be good, to the point where like, I will say the only true bummer about this podcast was that we had a really exciting interview lined up at the beginning of quarantine. Do you remember this? With three YA authors?
Yes.
And so, or middle grade authors. And so we were reading those books really quickly. And that was my first, I think that was my first middle grade book I read this year was Stand Up, Yumi Chung.
Oh, yeah.
And The Blackboard Girls. And I loved those books. And I really loved The Blackboard Girls. And I'm really glad that to your point, so much of my reading has been work-based this year. Mm-hmm. But I'm really glad that those books, I had to read them so quickly. And that they were middle grade books right away, because then it just got me into middle grade again. And so many mm-hmm. books that I read this year have been middle grade and younger. And they are just reinforces the thing that I preach all the time is that like, you're never too old for your favorite books. And
yeah.
I've found that again this year in my reading because of the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this will be fun. We can kind of recap some of our favorites and talk about them.
So today, Jill and I are going to talk about some of our favorite books we read this year. I don't know about you, Jill. Some of these are from a list from books we read on the podcast, and some of these are just books I read on my own.
My list is the same.
And I'm excited. We made a list, but I didn't want to read Jill's because I want to be surprised. So like, hit me with it.
Okay. I have to preface mine by saying these are in no particular order. They're just same. The order that occurred to me.
It came popping into my head.
Yes. I wanted to talk first about Friends and Strangers by J. Courtney Sullivan.
Okay. I am dying to hear your thoughts on this because I have it now and I haven't read it yet.
Okay. I was about to say, I thought you bought it.
No, I have it. It's on my wildly long TBR pile.
Sure, sure.
And the cover is so gorgeous.
The cover is gorgeous. And we talk about this all the time. It's why I picked it up. It was one of the Read with Jenna book club selections. So I thought like it might be interesting. It's by the same author as Maine. Have you read that?
No, I know what you're talking about, though.
I haven't either. I mean, I know it's a bestseller, but I have not read it. But now I want to because I enjoyed this book so much.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I read it at the beach, but I think I would like it even if I was reading it in a different location. It is about a woman named Elizabeth, who is a journalist and an author, and she moves to like a small, unnamed, I assumed Midwestern college town because her husband, who is an aspiring inventor, has taken a job on staff at the college. And she's kind of a fish out of water, away from living in Brooklyn and kind of operating in that like full-time working professional in New York scene.
Yeah.
And she has a book due. So she hires a college student to care for their small child. And the college student, Sam, is a senior in college. And when she comes over, you know, first they're kind of acquaintances and it's employee, employer. And then they develop a friendship that is so much more than that. Mm. And they're confidants and they're supporting one another and encouraging one another. But at multiple turns, they start to face issues of privilege and perspective and place and life and all that kind of stuff. And it's a really interesting lens at acknowledged and unacknowledged privilege. How we view ourselves and our position in society and where we view ourselves socioeconomically versus how others see us and how we view others. Hmm. It's got a lot of – like this is a great – I understand why they picked it as a book club gift. It is the perfect book. You want to read it and you want someone else to read it so you can talk about it. You see yourself in a lot of the characters. And it does a great job of even the minor characters are fairly richly developed.
Wow.
Overall, it just kind of grabs you right from the start and you want to know what happens. And so it's one that I read on my vacation, but I continue to be like eager to talk to people about it. And it's one that I would definitely continue to recommend to people.
How would you categorize it? Because you know me and you know my reading habits. So you said to me you would love this book. It's the perfect book about nothing, and that is a good thing to me.
The entire book takes place over like one college year. From start to finish, but everyday life happens. Like there's no like giant arc that you're moving towards or like a pivotal event. And yet so much happens. And it's just kind of like real life in that way.
Yeah. And I love that. I love reading books like that.
I am eager for you to get to it in your pile. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It has really stuck with me, but I think it's a great book for discussion.
Sure.
How about you? What's one of your picks for this year?
I think that we will have quite a bit of crossover. So I'm going to try and start with one. Well, I'm going to start with one that I know you haven't read.
Yay.
It's called Summer by Allie Smith.
I can't wait to hear about these because they are in my TBR pile, but entirely a combination of I'm such a garbage person. The book covers are beautiful. Yep. And also you've talked about them so much.
Yeah. So Summer is the fourth book in a series that Allie Smith, a UK writer, wrote, and it's called The Seasonal Quartet. And so it's autumn, winter, spring, summer. And it's a book she wrote. She wrote a book a year and over the last 4 years. And I picked up autumn in 2019. I read Autumn in the a year ago, I guess, in 2019. So Autumn and Winter were already out, and I didn't know a lot about it. And I knew about Allie Smith, but I'd never read Allie Smith. And she is, reading her sentences is such a fun experience. She clearly has so much fun with language. And that's kind of, as a reader, that's what I look for, is like really sentences that grab me. And they are so timely. They were written clearly as things are happening in modern history, because Autumn, you know, Trump is president, Brexit's happening. Mm-hmm. And it came out in that era. Same with Winter, same with Spring, same with Summer. And I will say, because they're so timely, I don't necessarily recommend them to just anybody, because it's an ugly world we live in right now. And reading about it so presently was difficult, especially summer. I mean, this just came out at the end of August, and coronavirus is in it. Like, COVID-19 is in this book.
Oh, really?
That's how timely it is. That's how up to the wire she's writing on her deadline.
Does it feel shoved in, or it feels really natural?
It feels so natural, but I am curious about, did she add this in that she's just that good of a writer that it was able to be in there sort of at the beginning of quarantine? So like, characters are talking about it a lot, and but there are details in it that just, it really shocks. It, well, two things. One, it really surprised me that COVID was in it, but also it made me reflective on just how long we've been in this situation.
Yes.
So I was like, all right, maybe it was in there already. And the whole time I was reading the series, they read not like a series, so that you could read Winter and then Autumn if you wanted, or Spring and then none of the other ones. Like, they are very much their individual stories. And then halfway through Summer, the last one, I realized that these characters were in either Autumn or Winter or Spring, and they were like coming into each other's lives really in a really natural and organic way, in a way that was so satisfying. The best thing about really good series. And I just love it so much. And I've been posting about it on my Instagram, and a lot of people have read Allie Smith who follow me, and they've been saying, you've got to read more Allie Smith. But I was putting off reading other books by her because I wanted this to be an uninterrupted Allie Smith experience.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited now. This is in my pile for our time between seasons of the podcast. So that makes me so excited to dig in.
Yeah, and like, I also picked this book up because I thought the cover was gorgeous. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't anticipate these books becoming like some of my favorite books I've read in years. Mm-hmm. But also, like, prepare for weird sentences. I mean, she does her own shit. She like doesn't follow any rules. She breaks up her sentences in ways I've never read. She doesn't use quotation marks. Like, it reads almost like poetry.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for these now.
Yeah. I'm excited for you. What about you? What's another one?
I want to take a little bit of it feels like a hard turn.
Please.
I have a nonfiction. I just finished Cast by Isabel Wilkerson.
Oh my God. I didn't know you were reading that.
Yeah. So I read it. We interviewed Blair Amani recently.
Yeah.
And one of the things we talked about, her book is, of course, about the Great Migration, and I had read The Warmth of Other Suns in the aftermath of coming home from the Women's March after Trump's inauguration. And it was kind of the first time that there was – obviously, intersectionality has been around for a super long time – but it was becoming more of a conversation. And I realized that while I felt like my own reading, I was doing really well on white feminists, that I had some gaps. So this book was on all the lists. And so that's where I started. And it was so interesting. And I really enjoyed it. And it kicked off reading like a bunch of other things that I also really liked. So I had all these warm feelings. And of course, this book just came out.
Truly just came out.
I mean, it's the Oprah Book Club clip. Oprah told me I had to read it.
Well, then you do what Oprah says.
Right. So I did. And I mean, Oprah's not wrong.
Really?
It's really good. So she looks at the concept of a caste through the lens of white supremacy and this sort of baseline assumption that we have as society that there's like one group has presumed inferiority compared to another group. Mm-hmm. And kind of using the concept of caste and looking at that. It's super of the moment.
Right.
It's really good. In the same way that I felt like The Warmth of the Other Suns was transformational and really enlightening, I felt the same way about this. I'm excited that I hope a lot of people are reading it and it widens.
I think the art's everywhere. I'm seeing it everywhere.
I'm hoping that tons and tons of people read it and it broadens our conversation. Yeah. But I was a little nervous because you're thinking that the first book was like so good. I was like, oh, I hope this is. It was everything Oprah said it would be. And I was delighted. And I just want to, if you were sitting on the fence about it, pick it up.
Nice.
Read it. I think it's important to the conversation.
Well, and you read so much nonfiction. Well, from my perspective, you read a lot of nonfiction. You read more than I do because of you're constantly talking about different memoirs and books that you and your kids are reading together that are nonfiction.
Yeah.
I think that you're really quick to say when one isn't worth your time. So if you're saying that this one's good, I trust you.
I am not going to name the book, but this, I have made huge growth. I used to be one of those people who would like, everybody says this book is good. I have to finish it. And then I would just say things like, you know, I read that one and it wasn't my favorite. And I want to credit you, Michael, because I feel like you are always like, don't apologize for things you don't have to apologize for and stop reading books that you don't like. Yeah. And I'm not going to name the book because I don't want it to be that kind of podcast, but I was reading a really highly acclaimed book this year and I texted you and I was like, I'm at page 125. I don't like this book. I'm going to stop reading it, but I also know you want it. Can I mail it to you?
Oh, I was honestly trying to remember what you were talking about. But yeah, I also won't mention that because it is a highly acclaimed book that I will totally, totally lie if we get the author on here and be like, loved it.
No,
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that. But yeah, it's hard. I think it's hard. It's a hard line to walk, right? Because I want to have a fully formed opinion when I don't like something. I don't want to like, if I don't like something, I want to have been like, yeah, I finished and I didn't like it and here's why. But you and I are in such a position where like, our reading time is like so limited that if it's leisure reading and I'm not liking it, I'm just not going to finish it.
No. And I mean, that was one of the things that's one of the nice parts about having this podcast. Cause I was like, look, I got two more books I got to get done. And this book is not doing it for me. And it's not on the list of things we're talking about. It's
next.
Load it in the cannon and fire it away from me.
Yeah. And send it over to Michael. I'm dying to read Caste, truly just because it exploded recently and I didn't realize it was an Oprah pick and now I'm realizing that's why. But
newly published, I think, I'm pretty sure that's correct.
No, that makes sense. No, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure you're right. Because The Water Dancer was one too last year, like the minute, like a month before it was published, it was about to be an Oprah book.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the same. How about you? Do you have another favorite?
Yes, I have one. And this will come as no surprise to anybody. And it is Before the Ever After by Jacqueline Woodson.
Yes.
It is her newest book. And it's a middle grade book. It's written in verse. And we had the privilege to speak with Jacqueline Woodson. Well, now at this point, early on in this podcast.
Yeah.
And that book was just about to come out. I don't think it was named an Indie Next List pick yet, but it then became an Indie Next List pick. Of course, it got a Kirkus starred review. And she has like lives in my brain in a way that like she would probably hate. So like that she continuously like for me outdoes herself is just like I feel really lucky to like just be on the receiving end of her talent. And mm-hmm. Before the Ever After was, again, just like a beautiful story about a son and his father dealing with a deteriorating illness. And at the very beginning of the new millennium, I think. And what I love about Jacqueline Woodson that she does across all of her books, ranging in age group, is that she takes a lot of time to reflect upon our friendship relationships that we have with one another,
mm-hmm.
and how impactful that they can be. You know, I think that we spend a lot of time talking about romantic relationships and family dynamics, and those are totally interesting and unique. And I don't not like those books, but you know, my friendships in my life have meant so much to me growing up and as an adult, and I like reading about friendship, and she takes a lot of time to give a lot of importance upon what friends can do for us in our lives. And Before the Ever After, it's just like one of the dynamics in that story is the friendship between these four boys. And it moved me so deeply, and talking to her about it was just so interesting, because it's a weird subject for her. It was just mm-hmm. like, oh, you're writing about a football player. That's, I wouldn't have expected that. But it's not about football, and but it is also, like, in talking to her about it, she talked a lot about it's naturally a very aggressive game and what that does for Black and brown people, psychologically and physically. And I of course, talking to the author, I got such a new perspective on it, but it was just instantly one of the best books I'd read this year.
I did not get it read before we talked to her. I had read some other things, and then I read it afterwards, and I was deeply moved. She's such a talented and amazing author.
Mm-hmm.
It was also one of my favorites this year.
Yeah, and what I was saying with Ali Smith, she clearly takes a lot of time on her sentences, mm-hmm. and especially when it's written in verse. She's written a couple of books in verse, and you have to say a lot in saying less, and she pulls that off every time. And
she's the best at it. Yeah,
she's the best at it. And yeah. I fully endorse that. Like, if a book is a certain age restriction, you don't like you aren't expired from reading that once you're no longer between the ages of 7 and 11. Like,
yeah,
you and I are full-formed adults. Well, maybe not, but we are adults. And I would choose to read these books regardless of whether or not we were interviewing her. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I am definitely chronologically in adulthood. yeah, no, I think there are insights to be gained from well-written middle grade fiction. And I mean, if you're going to read any middle grade fiction as an adult, I mean, Jacqueline Woodson is definitely it's an easy sell.
Right.
Just do it.
And like, to her point, I think in our conversation about it, she didn't tell us this, but we told her that her writing feels really timeless. Mm-hmm. And how does she do that? And part of that is that she just like gives kids freedom to like be who their actual selves. Like, there's no... when it's written from their perspective and like from the age of children, it feels less condescending, you know, like,
yes.
Like, I trust that these kids have feelings and they're going through stuff and we need to pay attention to that. And as an adult, I don't know. I think I get that more as an adult than I would as a child reading it.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyway, I love her. So there's that. And I told her that and I cried about it.
It was really sweet.
Okay, we'll say that.
I think that whole thing was definitely talking to her and getting to talk to her with you was definitely a highlight of 2020.
Yeah, totally. Highlight.
I'm curious, do you have Daughters of Erie Town on your list?
Not only do I have it on my list, but I have it next to me. I love this book.
Yes, I do too. It's Daughters of Erie Town by Connie Schultz.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, I don't want to talk about it a ton because we've already done a whole podcast episode on it, but I do just mm-hmm. want to say that again is a book that I continue to love and push on people at every opportunity. And I mean, we've talked about people who, when you're reading you're struck by their sentences and the way they phrase things. And that was a book that throughout both of our reading it, we were constantly texting each other screenshots of sentences that just stopped us or moved us or caused such an emotional reaction. And so for that reason, Daughters of Erie Town, it was definitely on my list for this year.
It's definitely on my list too. And you're totally right that in a completely different way, like her sentences hit me in a way that made me so appreciative of her time as a journalist, because she's so detail oriented, and not just in terms of like building the world for me, but also telling me what these things mean within the world and the importance we place on objects, especially as family. And I don't know why I didn't anticipate that, but I didn't. And of course that was part of the book. I mean, it just struck me in such an emotional way that was beyond like what the story was about. Like, yeah, the story moved me, but also like all of the details around these people's lives felt so real that I kept forgetting that it wasn't real.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that book.
I'm in complete agreement. How about you? You have another favorite for us?
So I talk a lot about debuts. And I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't mention one of my favorite debut books this year. And I've talked about it on the podcast. And I'm pretty sure, I don't think, Jill, you've read it, but I highly recommend it. And it's called Conjure Women by Effia Adekora.
This is also on my list.
Yeah.
But I have not read it yet.
It is so beautiful and magical, but not, it's very literary. It's hard to explain. It takes place pre and right after the Civil War. It's a black woman and her daughter, and then this white woman who the daughter and her grew up together on this plantation. And it takes place before and after the mother has died. And she has passed on being a conjurer to her daughter. And it was a book club pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yes. I knew a couple of people ordered it from the store. So I knew it had come in and I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
How did the group like it?
We were in pretty much agreement that we can't believe it's a debut novel. I mean, it reads so confidently and beautifully. There are aspects of the storytelling that, like, she will get better at the more she writes. But it's just such an unbelievable debut in the way that, like, yeah, I will definitely read what she does next. And the thing I love, if anyone takes anything into 2021 who's listening to our best of 2020, it's join a book club, because I have gained so much perspective on all of the books that I have read because of my book club. And people take things out of it that I never, ever spent a lot of time on. Like, to your point, my friend Lily is in my book club, and she referenced a lot of the lines that moved her that I hadn't thought much about. And hearing her talk about how much they moved her, it moved me so deeply and gave me an even deeper appreciation of the book.
Yes. My personal book club is really a cover for moms to drink wine.
Yeah, join that too.
Join that too.
Yeah.
But
even if you're not a mom.
Right. And I do love that. I love talking with you about books.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah. You know, it's different. I consider myself a member of two book clubs, the Jill and Michael book club, and then mom's book club. That's really like we hold a book and maybe some people have read 100%. It, but there's a lot of wine. But just discussing stuff just gives it so much depth and perspective.
Yes.
And I find that I have a deeper connection too with books if I've talked about them with other people.
But you know what too, it's not just a deeper connection with the book, it's a deeper connection with the person. Like, I feel so close to you after all the conversations we've had about the books we've read together, because I agree. I feel like this is our little book club that unknowingly all of the authors we've talked about are also a part of.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, so that's the third one of mine, is Conjure Women by Effia Adekora.
I love it.
What's another one?
I want to, again, we don't have to get really deeply into it because we had a whole episode, but Dancing with the Octopus by Deborah Harding. Oh my God,
it's on my list too.
I thought it might be. That book is so good.
So good.
It's going to be featured next week on our Instagram stories too. It's so good. And yeah. I continue to struggle in describing it to people because it is doing so many things well simultaneously. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's thrilling and you're like, what's happening with this kidnapping? But then also it's not really about that. It's about her personal and emotional growth. Right. And you really get sucked in there. And there was just so much personal connection to the story for me. Like, it just, it's a full journey, like, and I loved it.
Me too. And like, the subtitle is A Memoir of a Crime. And it is at the same time that and those two things separately. It is a memoir of a crime. And it is also a memoir and a crime.
Yes.
And I here's the thing. We knew that we were going to like this book, but I don't think we anticipated it touching us so deeply.
I agree.
Because we had been like, this sounds like a great one. Let's read it. I believe we'd love her on the podcast. And then as we were reading it, we absorbed it in a way that was just totally unexpected. And then we had the absolute honor to talk to the author, who was beyond gracious and generous with what she shared with us. And I think that it is really, like you said, it's really hard to distill what this book is about. But she, if nothing else, like, if you are turned off by true crime, or if it just feels really heavy, she is such a clever and witty writer.
Yeah.
That it really feels like she's holding your hand as she's doing it. Like, she's like, mm-hmm. I know this is hard. We will get through this. You're going to laugh a little bit too.
Yeah. And I don't read any true crime, and I liked this book.
Yeah.
Because for me, there was a crime aspect to it, but for me, it was 1,000% about her emotional journey. And it's so interesting because she spent now a large chunk of her life outside the United States, but it's such an interesting look at the rural Midwest as well.
Right, right.
It was deeply moving and definitely one of my favorites this year. How about you?
Yeah, me too. What is that for?
I think so.
Okay. So this is hard. I have one that I really want to talk about, but then I have another that I really want to talk about. So we'll just see what happens after I say this one.
All right. I have two more. You could have two more.
Okay. My fifth, five part one.
I love it.
Is Kent State by Deborah Wilde.
How did I forget about this? This is not on my list, but should have been.
Okay. I'm glad we're talking about it then, because this was early podcast fodder for us.
Yes.
Jill went to, where did you go?
I went to the American Bookseller Association Midwinter Conference.
On behalf of Blue Manatee Literacy Project.
Yes. I think that happened at the end of January.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Different time. We were 800 years younger.
Yes.
And Jill was at the conference and texted me and said a picture of the cover and was like, you went to a talk, right? She was there.
Yeah, so Scholastic had like a reception, like a it might have been an after dinner. It was either a before or after dinner, like reception with like light drinks and hors d'oeuvres. And then they previewed four of their upcoming titles. And then there was like a little mixer at the end.
So, okay. So then Jill said, this book sounds interesting. Check back with me after I read it. It might be worth like us doing something with. And this was before we really started to talk about the podcast.
And I had entirely picked it up because it's regional interest with Kent State. And it was the 50th anniversary. This April was the 50th anniversary of the tragedy at Kent State.
Yeah. So then she got on a plane. Then she landed, got another text, her saying, I finished it and I'm pretty sure I loved it.
Yes. Yeah.
And I said, send it to me.
And it was definitely a book that I don't read a lot in verse.
I hadn't before this either.
Prior to reading this, I think I had read two books in verse. The one that's springing to mind is Brown Girl Dreaming by Jacqueline Woodson. Sure. But I was not super experienced in reading verse. And this one is told through seven voices. I do have to tell you, on my vacation, when we interviewed Deborah, she had said, you have to listen to the audiobook. Because, they cast the voices. So there's seven actors.
Yeah.
I did not realize until we interviewed her that the characters are not gender or identified in the book. I had assigned genders to them. Some of them were different from the actors.
Wow.
I really liked the people they picked. Hearing the seven voices was transformational. The book is amazing as a book experience, and the audiobook is amazing as an audiobook experience. Do them both. Wow. It's definitely do one or the other, but think about doing them both.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I was also, it's so funny that I say this because throughout the year I've been like totally recommending like a billion books in verse. And then I was like, I guess I like this. I can't, I have to stop saying I don't read a lot of books in verse.
It's how I was about memoirs. Right, you like books in verse.
I do. I love books in verse. And but before this year, I had really only read a couple. I'd read The Poet X and Brown Girl Dreaming. And I know I'd read a couple others, but it had been probably since high school. And then I read Kent State, and then I read Clap When You Land, and Before the Ever After. Mm-hmm. So I've read a lot of books in verse, and this one, even in talking about books in verse, is unlike any other book in verse I've read because of how many different voices there are.
Yeah.
And how, I mean, it's what? It's
so short.
100 pages? It's like barely 100 pages.
I finished the entire thing on a flight from LaGuardia to Cincinnati.
Right? And that's a short flight. What's 2 hours?
Not even.
Yeah. And it's like she packs so much into those pages. Mm-hmm. And not even like, it's not like densely populated with text either. It's just that she gets so much done in such little time and in an emotional way too, that I was kind of unprepared for. And, in talking to her, I also realized that I don't know nearly enough about the Kent State shootings as I wish I did.
Yeah.
And how passionate she was about all of it was also just like a pleasure to be witness to.
Absolutely. I agree. That's a great pick. I loved it. And it became a fun experience after our initial read and conversation also. Yeah.
What about you?
Again, I feel like I've talked about Isabel Allende 17 times on the podcast. And honestly, until this morning, I'd forgotten that this book came out. She had a book back in January, but again,
oh my gosh,
another lifetime ago. She had A Long Petal of the Sea that came out, you know.
Wow, I forgot.
Yeah, that was this year. That was in January. It's set in the 1930s, and there's a pregnant widow that like decides to, she becomes a refugee. She climbs over the mountains in Spain during the Civil War. You know, if you love her, you will love this one.
That cover is gorgeous.
The cover is everything.
Yeah.
I was so pleased. You know, it's one of those things when you become a fan of someone for such a long time, you're always a little bit like nervous. Like, is the next book going to hold up? And this one does. It was really good.
Yeah, listeners will know she was really important. Her work was really important to you for a long time.
Yeah.
I feel so badly for authors right now this year, like, especially first time authors. It's got to be a really tricky navigation that you're really excited and feel really proud that your book's coming out. But at the same time, it's hard to celebrate right now anything.
Yeah.
And just know that like we have done so much reading this year and so much reading of your books that we're so glad you wrote, and we're really thankful that they were published, especially right now. I mean, I think that everything is so ugly, and honestly this podcast will air, I have no idea what's gonna happen after this podcast will have aired. So, but my perspective is that it's been such a terrible time that I'm so glad and thankful to have had all of these new books to read.
Yes, I was thinking in preparing for this episode, I was thinking a couple of weeks ago, I did on our Monday book recommendations on Instagram, I focused on books that had come out during shutdown. Yeah. And we heard from a couple of the authors who were like, thank you so much. This has been so hard. You know, thanks for giving my book some love, even though it came out a couple months ago, because it just didn't get any traction because everybody was focused on COVID. And it's been a hard year to read, but also a really good year.
Yeah. And we get it too, because like we make such a big deal about new books when they come in. Like New Book Tuesday is a thing, and we love experiencing that. We're book people. Like Jill and I aren't in these positions it's not an accident. Like we love to read, and we love to talk about books, and we like to share that with our community and our customers and you all listening. And we wouldn't be able to do that if these books didn't exist. And I'm just glad. Do you have any honorable mentions or runners up?
Yes, I have one adult book that we didn't get to that's an honorable mention, and then I have I picked a couple picture books and some middle grade YA.
Oh, good.
The other adult book that we didn't have time to talk about was Old Love Good Girls by Gail Goodwin.
Oh, that's right.
Did you read that one?
I have not read it.
Have I sent it to you?
I have the ARC.
I brought the ARC back from midwinter because you had asked for it. I sent you a picture. Yeah. I was like, do you want anything here? And you asked for that one. And you have such good taste. I grabbed two, one for you and one for me.
Oh, thank you, Jill.
Don't tell the ABA people. You're probably not supposed to take two. I really enjoyed it. Again, it was a story about nothing. But we're doing honorable mentions. So that's my adult.
Well, you can go into it a little. Oh, okay. I want to hear about it.
It's one of those stories that I thought you would like it because it's not really about anything, but it's about everything.
Sure.
And it is, I think the sentence that I sent you, I'm not going to quote it correctly, but one of the characters says something about like, if you can do something for someone who has done so much for you, like even if it's not your first choice, isn't that what love is?
Oof. Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me that.
Oh, yes. That's exactly what love is.
Yeah. Wear a mask, people.
It was so good. I mean, it's about friendship and like a lifelong friendship.
Oh.
And is so deeply moving. But that concept just struck me to my core.
Yeah.
You want to do your honorable mentions? Then I'll do mine since I failed at the first attempt at honorable mentions. Okay, okay.
I have a few.
Okay.
I wanted to... Well, there's a book called A Paragon by Colin McMahon, and I believe it was longlisted for the Man Booker Award. I can't remember.
Yeah.
It was unlike anything I've ever read. He's a veteran novelist, so he doesn't need our help, but please read it. It was challenging. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to everybody, but go look it up. I'm not going to try to explain it. And a book that came out last year that I read this year was The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead.
It's on my list.
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning because it won the Pulitzer. Mm-hmm. Fully deserved it. And it was a book that genuinely surprised me. Like, I thought I had a pretty good idea as to where it was going, and then it really subtly changed course and was done just like expertly. And of course it was, because it's Colson Whitehead. And then just two books that I want to mention. I kind of briefly mentioned them earlier. They were interviews that we were supposed to have, but COVID-19 is a monster and we weren't able to do it. Two middle grade novels that I really liked: Stand Up Yumi Chung by Cheska Kim and The Blackbird Girls by Anne Blankman. And I loved them both. I really, really loved The Blackbird Girls. Reading it, I knew that had I been in middle school, it's a book that I would have just like carried with me everywhere all of the time. I loved it so much.
You need to send me that one.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Lily has it.
This episode is brought to you by Lily.
Who has made both of our homes beautiful.
So true. honorable mention for me in adult books. This is going to be a weird recommendation. If you are looking for a recommended book to just like check out, it's not literary fiction, it's not highbrow, but you want to read some not garbage garbage.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes, I absolutely know what you
mean. It's top of the heap nonsense. Yes. The Jet Setters by Amanda Eyre Ward.
Oh.
The friend who recommended this to me said, everyone in this book is a dumpster fire and I love it.
Oh, okay. I need to read it.
And that's the best description of it. I wanted to shout out to two picture books this year. We Are Water Protectors by Carol Lindstrom.
Oh my God. Gorgeous.
So beautiful. Came out like the first week of April.
Yeah.
The illustrations are so, the saturated tone, the blues and the purples and the greens, and the story, the text is also mm-hmm. there. It's a wonderful package. And then just 1,000% fun as a picture book. Everybody Says Meow by Constance Lombardo.
Yeah.
It's one of Aaron's favorites who does our story time at the store. And it's really fun. There's this little kitten and she really wants everyone to say meow. But of course, the animals want to make their own noises.
Yeah.
And she keeps trying to get them. She's like, right, right, right. But okay, but we're all going to say meow. And they're like, right, but no. So that's,
Aaron's really good at doing that one at story time.
She's so good at it. And it just, it's a great book. I went overboard on favorite middle grade and YA.
Yep, let's hear it.
Okay. Seven Clues to Home by Gabe Halsner.
Oh, which I need to read it. You said about. So much about it. Yeah.
So good. I now have had, I think everybody else on staff at the store has read it now because I won't stop talking about it. Okay, I got to read it then. We Dream of Space by Aaron and Trotta Kelly. That's the one that is set during the Challenger explosion.
Oh, oof.
Dress Coded by Carrie Firestone. Yep. I know I've talked about that a lot. Oh, one that I recently finished, Clean Getaway by Nick Stone was also really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot of buzz. Two that we talked about on this podcast, but have still stuck with me the whole year. The Queen Bee and Me by Gillian McDunn.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So good. It's like about friendship. It's about bullying, but toxic not about friendship. Bullying. It again does so many things well, and I can't believe it's for children because
right.
I mean, it could also be about adults.
Yeah.
And finally, Ways to Make Sunshine by
Renee Watson.
Thank you. gosh, just a fantastic entry into the younger chapter book market.
Yeah.
That I'm so glad that we have. It's so good.
And I will tie this off with a book that Jill and I both highly endorse. It's Baby Monster by Andrea Pfeiffer and illustrated by Aaron Barker.
Yes. Baby Monster is, that's up there on my list of picture books for this year. The illustrations are hilarious. And the way that after talking to them, you feel so much of the parents just unraveling as the story moves forward. Right. And I did not realize that that existed as text in the story in the early drafts and that Aaron had taken Andrea's words and turned them into part of the illustrations, and just knowing that sets that book off.
A true partnership.
Yeah.
It's great. You know what? I loved that conversation because I learned so much about you. And I had no idea really how much that book was impacting you as a parent.
Yes. Yeah,
I loved that conversation.
When you have 4 children, 3.5 and younger, being a new parent is wild.
I should say.
Yeah, and it was just, I don't know, it's fun now because I can look back on it and smile and cherish like really good parts. And I felt like that book just so spoke to the good parts.
Yeah.
While we're wrapping up 2020. I have to mention an interesting thing to you.
Tell me.
So I was in the store a couple weeks ago on Saturday because the kids wanted some books. And Anessa, hi Anessa.
Love you.
Was there. She's our coworker.
Oh.
And she mentioned she had not read the new Hunger Games book because you and I hated it. And I was like, I do not hate it.
No. And we were very clear to say this was very fine.
And then Sam told me this past Friday, Sam's our other coworker.
Hi, Sam. Love you too.
Someone was in the store shopping and thinking about, picked up the book and then said, oh no, I heard you guys talk on the podcast about how bad this was.
Oh, shit.
So I just want to go on record in our 2020 wrap up and say, I did not hate the new Hunger Games book.
Neither did I. And our opinions are Jill's opinions, Michael's opinions, nobody else's. You are so allowed to want to read something that we like didn't love or that we just like outright hated. Like that's just our opinion. That's what this podcast is all about.
I just felt like I couldn't end a discussion of 2020 without mentioning that if The Hunger Games is speaking to you, you should definitely still buy it. Yeah. I did like it. It just didn't meet my expectations, and I thought it could be better.
Same. And like whenever when I think back on the books that I definitely would never reread or even like recommend, that does not come to my mind.
Not at all.
Books do though.
Yes, I felt that because I didn't want to give anyone that impression.
Yeah. Yes. No, whatever. So going into 2021, here's what we're not allowed to do. I am no longer ever allowed to talk about Curtis Sittenfeld. I get too fiery.
We should also stop saying that books are authentic.
Fine. No, I want to be clear that like, I don't hate Curtis Sittenfeld. I don't know her. She's actually seems very lovely.
She is
I just
lovely.
Really
I've
didn't
never.
Like her book. What, Jill?
What?
I never knew that.
Oh, yes, because she was at Books by the Banks.
This is not going well.
I'm sorry. Okay, so in my former life as a librarian, I led the author team for Books by the Banks. She was one
which
of
is
our-
a local. If you're not from Cincinnati, it's a book festival in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yes, thank you for that. Yeah, and she did some panels for us and was really lovely. I still haven't read Rodham. That is still in my TBR pile, and I need to get on it.
Yeah, it's sitting beautifully on my bookshelf because I love the spine. It's a nice splash of color, but that might be all it does. Anyway, 2021, I'm not allowed to talk about her. So thank you for hanging out with us this year. We've had a really good year chatting with you guys about books, and I fully endorse the books that we've talked about today. I know Jill does too. And just remember that the Blue Manatee Literacy Project is a nonprofit organization that is able to donate books to children for every book you purchase with us. So if any of these books sound at all interesting to you, please consider buying it through Blue Manatee. The work that they do is just chef's kiss. And thanks, Jill. I've really, truly loved talking about books with you this year.
I've had a blast this year. And even just this wrap-up was so absolutely fun. I'm grinning.
I know,
ear
such
to
a
ear.
Balm.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Cool. Well, chat later.
Okay. See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Book It, a bi-weekly podcast. If you're interested in learning more or donating to the Blue Manatee Literacy Project, you can find us online at bluemanatee.org. If you're in Cincinnati, come by and see us. We're located at 3094 Madison Road in Oakley.